Well, as promised, we have the legendary show director. I use that term quite deliberately now because it's his first ever autumn flower show. We spoke to him, of course, on the Midweek Drive, second show as far as the NEHS show directorship is concerned, vis-a-vis the spring flower show. What am I mumbling on about? Because I'm in the presence of greatness. I'm in the presence of Nick Smith. How are you, Nick?
I'm very well, Alex. Good morning and welcome to the 39th Harrogate Autumn Flower Show.
Fantastic. Do you know, I was thinking, as I was driving up here today, back in 1984, the London Fashion Show started in a few tents in Waterloo. And sort of Vauxhall area, and that sort of developed. And I feel in many ways this is the equivalent for horticulturists of the London Fashion Show, but probably better.
I think we've got a bit of fashion as well. Our spring show, we have hats.
Exactly. It's fantastic stuff. And somebody who certainly knows her way with hats, because she's modelled them for a whole range of things when she's not doing her financial journalism stuff, etc., is, of course, Natalie. Natalie, thoughts of yourself?
Yeah, it's a fantastic show that you've put on here. How much organisation does it take? When do you start planning for this?
We start planning for each show probably about 18 months in advance. Just to try and get themes and to try and get the principal exhibitors on board to ensure that we're going to have something worthwhile for the public to see.
And so when you decide your themes, like, is it a big creative team that decide? Is it, or is it just like, do you make the final decision or does everybody get an input?
Camilla's watching this interview, by the way, so who knows what could be said here.
We're lucky it's quite a small show team, and it means that we can all sit down and we can really get the opportunity to go over what we want to see, and obviously from feedback from exhibitors, from plant nurseries and so on, in how they see it going forward as well, because that's very important to us to ensure that we maintain that level of interest from exhibitors as well as the public.
And so what's your favourite aspect of the show? Is it the big veg or flowers?
I think with the autumn show, it's just that sense of celebration, really. I think there's something very sort of, it's that traditional sort of autumn harvest. There's something very, very enjoyable about wandering around and seeing a really fantastic end to a good season. And that's certainly what we've got here this year.
Or indeed carrots that look like extraterrestrials, which is a whole line entirely. Nick, there are lots of prize-winning things, and we've already teased ahead to the fact that I believe Camilla will be revealing the challenges that were faced with respect to making sure that rules were rules when it comes to size of onions and weighing in and such like stuff. But from your own point of view, lots of new records have been set, possibly two, I gather, Guinness World Records.
We have indeed, and we're very proud to host those things. I am going forward. Let's look at what we've got next year too.
And certainly the sort of exhibitors we've spoken to so far, whether they're exhibiting seeds, whether they're actually dealing with ferns, a whole range of things, I think the buzz is very positive. What do you think, Natalie?
Yes, definitely. I think everyone's very excited to be here. You can feel that in the atmosphere here.
Is this a day when you sort of, not relax or switch off, but after all the judging and the weighing and the fraught nature of Fridays in all sorts of ways, when, if it helps, I was actually dealing with an On Your Bike podcast, so I was cycling and all sorts of things, so I sympathise in different ways. But from your own point of view, is this a day you kind of relax, or is it a case of, no, I wait until about 5 p.m. on Sunday, and then I have like an hour's thought, and then basically we're on to the Spring Flower Show?
I think we give ourselves a little bit of grace after each show. We've got a couple of weeks to just sort of look again and sort of think, right, what went well, what didn't go well, and let's put that in place for the next show. So, but for the next few days, we're still up to full speed.
Jill, from your own perspective, you experienced it obviously as a punter last year on the Sunday, which is always fun from that point of view. Your thoughts today?
Oh, yeah, I think it looks equally as good as it did last year. I'm looking forward to exploring more of it.
And the thing is, Nick, it'll get better next year, because that's the whole thing. I mean, it's not just equally as good, you're going to exceed the mark, aren't you?
Well, that's a great challenge to have, but I mean, we don't want to sort of tamper with things that people enjoy already, but there's always opportunities to further develop, and that's always great fun, and that's something that we'll listen to the public and listen to exhibitors on how we go forward.
Well, we've already had confirmation from one of the exhibitors that, yes, actually, this is not just the equivalent of the Chelsea Flower Show, i.e. the Chelsea of the North, but it's probably in many ways better as well, so good news from that perspective.
It's extremely heartening to hear that.
So the official line, comfy, has been used by Natalie. Why are you saying comfy, Natalie?
Well, we're sat in a pod and it's spinning. It's like we're on some ride at a theme park.
Exactly. That's what happens when you start interviewing Richard. It's amazing. Richard, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Very well.
And proudly displaying your OG ornate garden shirt, which for some reason I don't recall seeing before, but you assure me has been here every time you've been at the show.
Every year, I think, for the last 4 years. Trying to be professional.
Well, I do, you know, exactly. Anyway, let's turn to Jill first. Jill, your thoughts on this pod experience?
Yeah, I think, especially in England when we don't have always the good weather, but it's nice to have the outside.
Or indeed Scotland as well. I mean, we want to alienate them, whatever the sort of result. Sorry, it's obviously got a theme here. You see where we're going here, Richard.
Well, yes or no.
Precisely. So how's it been? How's the show season been for yourself? Because I mean, obviously we speak in the spring, we speak in the summer, we never quite connect to Tatton Gardens, Tatton Park or the Chelsea Flower Show, but how's it been for yourself?
Very good. I think there's a trend this year for us, at least, that's upward. So, you know, that's positive for the coming years.
And so, do you get a lot of interest at these shows, the Harrogate Autumn Show?
Yes, I do. I mean, there are people that come in the spring and in the autumn that see it again and again. But while I'm here, my main aim is to actually sell right here. I don't tend to wait for afterwards, for after sales. I try to sell here because I need to make the to make it pay for me, basically.
And even though, obviously, winter's approaching and people spend less time outdoors, you're still quite successful. Because, obviously, as my mum said, the great thing about this is it doesn't matter if it's raining because you can just, you sat inside. And if it's coming in this way, as you demonstrated, you can spin it around so that the rain doesn't come in. So it's a genius invention, really, isn't it?
Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, it is more of a spring-summer product, but clearly you can use it all year round. And so sales, though it slows down this time of the year, they're still there. You know, there are people who have them fitted December, January, February, you know, no problem.
Brilliant.
I'm actually thinking, Natalie, maybe your flat hunting, house hunting in London, this could solve the problem, you know, as a possibility. It might be sort of one way you could actually have, you know, consider, you know, four pods would be useful.
Four pods, yeah, we could just put them in the street, couldn't we? We don't need a house, we could live in this pod.
We should do thoughts
some
on that.
Vines, though, wouldn't we?
I don't know if the local council would like it, but over and above the ones you can see here, we do some very big ones. So you could literally live in them.
Maybe I could just find someone with, like, a garden who's willing to let me put a pod in it or something, you know.
If you find any of those, let me know and I'll look for one of those as well.
And a reminder, it is OG Ornate Garden. Richard, will you like to just share the web address once again?
Yes, it's ornategarden.com.
Now, after both Camilla and, of course, Nick had sort of sung the praises of the apple theme, we thought it was important, Natalie, to actually go to the core of the whole thing. Was that all right?
So we've come into the apple tent.
And we're about to speak to those fabulous folk from Rosebud Preserves in Massham. Not Masham, of course, but Massham, Yorkshire. And we're speaking to?
It's Mark. Mark at Rosebud Preserves.
Mark from Massham. Fantastic.
Yes.
That's great. So, share with us, what have we actually got here?
Well, what we're doing is we're focusing on everything that we do that's based around the apple. So we do quite a few things, from chutneys to jellies. We've even just released a marmalade that we've actually collaborated with Ampleforth Abbey, so that's got the cider through it.
And so religious sort of endorsement as well,
exactly,
really.
Exactly, yeah, so you can't get much better than that. So and so going from sort of left to right, we do a classic chutney, which has the Bramley apple in. And same again with a hot apple chutney that's got the Bramley apple. And then here we've got a wild crab apple jelly. So the crab apples are actually foraged ourselves in the local area. And then your cider marmalade, which I just mentioned. And then a herb jelly, which is principally Bramley apples again, to make a jelly from it. And then at the end, something a little bit different. We've got a Bramley apple and licorice jam. So they're all here for the people to try. So
as well as being ace co-presenters, of course, Natalie and Jill are all sort of keen possible tasters. Are you up for a tasting?
Yeah, let's go.
Natalie,
for it.
Natalie, you up for a tasting?
Yeah, I'm up for a tasting.
Jill,
we've got the
tasting.
Marmalade, which is probably the best place to start.
Shall we go with the marmalade to start off with, Natalie?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So the side.
We're going through this. Yeah. Is there an etiquette in terms of what she should be doing in terms of going for the crisp and things?
Just want to grab a cracker and just put a little bit on there and . Go for it.
These are the crucial moments, which I know actually.
Just a traditional Seville orange marmalade, made as you would at home. We just make it in slightly bigger batches. At the point that we would normally take it out of the cooker, that's when we put the Ampleforth cider in, fold it through, and then it just retains that freshness.
So you've got Ampleforth cider in there as well. We could actually have a somewhat inebriated co-presenter working through the whole thing here.
Not
well, hopefully she'll hold it together.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Yeah, that's really, really, really nice. Mum, you should try some.
Because you've generally got quite a bitterness at the end of marmalade. The cider just sort of counteracts that bit of flavour and you end up with more of a fresh sort of end note, which is just a nice alternative to what you normally have.
Film buffs listening to this particular podcast and programme might sort of think, oh, Rosebud, it's named after Citizen Kane in the movie, etc. Why the name Rosebud?
It's actually just, we're based towards Swinton Park. and those parts, you know, those farms and things like that, they were always named after flowers and things that you would find. And, you know, that's where the name came from.
And I noticed in terms of the display, which is very effectively put together, you've got a glamorous shot there of a young lady who's actually sort of holding a basket, etc. You're looking wistfully in the background there.
I
believe this young lady is actually on stand at present. Would you like to introduce her?
No, this isn't the lady she is the owner of the business. She will be here this afternoon.
So you could name check. Her name is?
Elspeth Biltoft. So you could get a word with her today. What we've actually got going on today is Elspeth and our head chef, John, are actually going to be demonstrating how to make crabapple jelly. It's one of the apples that's always out there for people to find. People have it growing in the garden, so it's a nice thing to demonstrate that people can actually take this apple and make something with it at home, and it's very simple, so people can see that demonstration taking place today.
Tasters are going in full place here. We'll just sort of find out. She goes for the English herb jelly.
Oh, yeah.
Jill, your thoughts on this one?
She's not tried it yet.
I've not tried it. Okay.
I've tried it. Yeah, the herbs, the flavour of the herbs, like all of them, they really come through. It's really fantastic.
Looks as though you got a winner.
Yeah. I think we've done quite well. So a really nice a range of products. So they're all a little bit different for people's tastes.
Okay, well, I think they like it all. So it's a whole win in every situation. Can people access stuff from the web? Can they go to Rosebud Preserves?
Rosebudpreserves.co.uk, pretty simple. Everything's on our website, so we've got about 65 products on there for people to buy online.
Having enjoyed the taste of, obviously, one side of the apple scenario, we're now actually at Yorkshire Wolds Apples, pressed apple juice, speaking to the wonderful...
Fiona Brooks.
Fiona, clearly this is going to be a very popular stand. I know it is a popular stand because you've basically got Yorkshire Wolds natural apple juice. It's there. It does exactly what it says.
That's true, yes. I think we're proud to say we just won an award for the second year in a row from the Good Food Taste Awards to say that we were the tastiest apple juice that was checked. And yes, we get the apples, we press them. All we do is add a little bit of vitamin C. And then if it's good enough to eat, it's good enough to press. So... it's very apple-y is usually the most comment that we get.
Well, shall we go for that tasting now? I mean, if Ashley, are you up for a little tasting from that point of view to see where things are going? So, again, the way of actually keeping the samples going through there. And again, a reminder, you can actually press, bottle and pasteurise the whole thing so they can be enjoyed for up to 2 years, Fiona. So that's great stuff.
Yes, we pasteurise them so that you can safely keep it for up to 2 years, and it keeps for 3 to 4 days in the fridge once opened.
Natalie.
It's so nice. I always order apple juice whenever I go out for a meal, and this is one of the best, yeah. And you're right, it's so apple-y.
Sometimes people say there's a hint of pear. Where that comes from, I really don't know, but it's Cox's Orange Pippin is the main variety that we use.
Yeah, I can taste the pear, yeah.
And then you may have noticed we do apple and raspberry, apple and rhubarb, apple and passion fruit, and apple and elderflower.
Yeah, elderflower. Would I be able to try the elderflower one, please?
This is the critical part of the role Natalie actually has in terms of this, so great stuff there. Whilst you're preparing the whole thing, Fiona, how did you get involved with the whole industry in the first place?
We've
a few bottles for Natalie to work through, so.
We've recently taken the business over from a family friend who died very suddenly last year, and he started the business simply by building his own apple press, would you believe, and then built it up to the extent that... we supply places like Betty's and so on. So he was very into local produce. And when he died last year, we were helping his daughters until they got to a point where they couldn't really carry on. And so we have tried to carry on in the same way and do what we hope Ray would be proud of.
I'm sure he's looking down now thinking, I made it for Natalie Tuck to actually enjoy the tasting, if nothing else.
It's brilliant. And so how you say you supply Betty's, but how far... reaching are your products to you?
Reasonably local. We have a local distributor, but I suppose that depends on how much we want to grow. But obviously the provenance and the sort of locality of the juice is a big selling point for us. Yeah. So we tend to be stocked by sort of fairly quality retailers, farm shops, Michelin star restaurant, who want to be able to say that this is locally produced juice and they know where it comes from. And as I say, we are award winning for the second year.
Well, I'm so impressed with this, Fiona. I'm going to actually purchase one of the small bottles. I am indeed, you see. So it's rare, as Natalie will attest to, that I'll actually sort of pay for the correspondence from that point of view. But I think
maybe do a special price.
Brilliant stuff. And again, we'd very much like to hopefully sort of maybe do a piece at your bottling sort of area and sort of maybe come and do a location report with you.
Very welcome. We've just re-sited up to a farm near Moulton where my partner is living. So we have a purpose-built plant and we'd be very happy to see you there.
Fiona, it's been fantastic touching base with the good self. Once again, many thanks. And a reminder, of course, the web address, as we rightly said, for Yorkshire World's natural apple juice is
yorkshireworldsapplejuice.co.uk.